Well, what a wonderful, wonderful time in the presence of God this morning. And you made it more wonderful because you're here. Just so you know, just so there's no doubt in your mind, you made it more wonderful. The Father's desire for each one is unbelievable. The extent that He'll go for each one of us. There's no rock that's left unturned, and there's no place that He doesn't go looking for us. And so we're so thankful for each and every one. Man, I was enjoying that. And I pray that, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit spoke to you, just do that. You know, whatever He said to you, forgive someone, bless someone, whatever it was, release somebody. Maybe they, you know, have done you wrong or something like that, but to release them from anything that they might, oh, I don't know what it is that the Holy Spirit wants to do, but I know that that one act of obedience changes everything. And I just want to encourage you. Just one. Don't worry about trying. Sometimes we put so much on ourselves because I have to do this and 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 this. And we put all of these demands on ourselves to try to accomplish in order to please God or go to the next level with God or to get right with God. And the human flesh does that stuff all the time. But the Lord only wants you just to do what He spoke. And I believe that He spoke to each one this morning. Because He's a very personal God. He is the Most High God, but He's also the Most Nigh God. Amen? And so if we're listening, I know he loves to speak to each and every one of us. And now it's just an act of obedience. So I want to encourage you in that. We're so thankful for a lot of people get out of the hospital this week. That's a good thing. Amen? Yeah. Josiah is here with Kim and Elijah. He's out. And then I talked to Jillian, and she had come up, and they said she had stage 4 cancer in her lymph nodes, right, Bren? And they went in, and they took a whole bunch of them out. They could find nothing except in one, and they said, you're free to go. You're good to go. You're free. And so, you know, just God's goodness. Look, this is a house of miracles, amen? And, you know, Wednesdays around here are pretty crazy, I got to tell you. We have prayer on Wednesdays, but Wednesdays at Rock Solid Church, we did a wedding on Wednesday, and that was, a funeral, which, we did a funeral here on Wednesday. I don't know why I always confuse them. No. What?
You did not mean that the way
I didn't mean that the way it sounded?
Wedding, funeral.
Oh, no, I'm just saying. You know, for those that are saved, it's amazing either direction, right? So that's how my mind is thinking. Sorry, it may not have come across like that, but and then when I go to do a wedding, I'll say, I just did a funeral, and you know, just sometimes you mispronounce things or misspeak, and I apologize. But we did a funeral on Wednesday, and it was amazing. We got done with the funeral here. And then we had to go to the graveyard, obviously, for the interment. And I'm walking through the cemetery, and the family's gathered around the casket. And as I'm walking over there, I get a phone call. And the phone call is Mike Palmatier, who's here this morning. And he says, hey, brother, you got to pray for me. I'm trying to get to the hospital. I'm having a heart attack. I'm like, what? And then I said, hey, I'll be right back, guys. And then I walked away, and I'm praying for Mike. They're all standing around the casket. And I'm like, in the name of Jesus, you'll live and not die. And we just started praying and crying out to Jesus. And he pulled off on the side of the road. He couldn't drive no more because he couldn't breathe. And then he took off again. And when he got within a couple hundred yards of the hospital, I said, all right, Mike, I got to go. I got to go finish this funeral. You're good in the name of Jesus. So I hung up with Mike, and I walked over, and we prayed and blessed everybody, and we went through the internment, and then as soon as that was over, I ran to the hospital, and I go to the window, and I said, ma'am, is there a Mike Palmatier in here? She said, excuse me? I said, ma'am, he's having a heart attack. Either he's in here or he's in his car driving around Hudson somewhere. I don't know where he is. She said, oh, hang on a second. Yes, he's here. I said, is he all right? She said, he's all right. And then they send him to St. Peter's and they put a stent in him. And then he's here in church today. So we thank God for that. Amen. So Wednesdays can get pretty wild at Rock Solid Church. I just got to tell you, because that's a first for me, all right? You're going to bury someone and you're praying for someone that's having a heart attack while they're driving. I just want you to know I'm two for two, because Pete Voicy called me when he was having a heart attack, and he was like, hey, brother, you gotta pray for him having a heart attack. What? Okay. Yeah, did you call the ambulance? They're on their way. All right, then I'll pray until the ambulance gets there and we'll be good. So I'm two for two because they're both standing here today, all right? Maybe we'll get a 1-800 number, and if you're having a heart attack, give me a holler. But can I tell you, he's a good God. And I thank God that, you know, in a time of need, when it's out of our control, I pray that each one of us, it kicks in to call a person of faith. I want to encourage you. Whatever's going on, please don't go to the world. Don't go to somebody who's never walked through anything or experienced anything. Go to someone who's walking in faith. Get a hold of them and say, hey, maybe it's not, you don't have to be having a heart attack, all right? Let's not do that anymore. I've had enough of them, all right? I don't like that. But whatever it is, I pray that your first call is someone who's strong in their faith and say, hey, help me through this. I don't care if it's a marriage issue, if it's a wayward child, finances, a job, whatever it is. Maybe it's an addiction. Call someone in faith and say, look, if it's still consuming, controlling you, it's as bad as a heart attack. Because if there's something that's still consuming you right now, you need to grab a hold of some other faith, people of faith, and say, hey, I need to get done with this thing. I can't tell you how many people for years walk through with unforgiveness. In church, walking with unforgiveness. Coming in, taking communion. The scripture says, hey, I wouldn't do that if I were you. But how many people disobey the word of God? Because, well, you don't understand, Pastor. I do understand the word of God. And he said, we're going to have to let it all go. Because if you want him to use you, you're going to have to let it go. In order to let it go, you're going to have to get with those that have already gotten victory. Amen? So now, I've never been driving and had a heart attack and gotten victory in that. But I do know that the prayer of faith heals the sick. I've gotten victory in that one. And so I want to encourage you, whatever is going on, grab a hold of someone and say, look, I need victory in this, and I haven't been able to get it on my own. Can you walk with me through this? We've got some people in here that have walked with the Lord for a long time, and they've seen the goodness of the Lord upon their lives, and they haven't seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging for bread, and they're still walking in faith. And I want to encourage you, grab a hold of them. I mean, look at Pastor Bob over there. Talk about the epitome of someone walking in the Lord for a long time, huh? That's power right there, sitting there. Some of you see this nice old grandpa-looking gentleman. He's just kind, body by Stewart's, all of that stuff. He likes to go to Stewart's, so that's why I always tell him it's body by Stewart's. If you want to live a long time, you just go to Stewart's and eat their donuts and stuff, according to Pastor Bob, their sandwiches and everything else. But let me tell you something. When Pastor Bob prays, the earth starts to shake, and all the enemies start to shudder, because they know he's going to pray the word of God over people's lives. My mom and Kathy have been praying for this church for years. They've been praying for me, and that's the only reason why I'm still in the pulpit, is because of my bride and those ladies praying. They had a whole prayer group used to get together and pray for me every week. I think they were praying that I just wouldn't run away scared. That was the biggest thing. Don't let them run away like a little baby scared because of what God's called them to do. But they didn't stop praying. And you know what? It's our desire that God would have the reward from you out of the deposit that he placed in you. Amen? Does he deserve to receive the reward from what he has given? right? This is what God wants from each one of us. And so I just want to encourage you, get with those. You know, and last week we talked about in Colossians 1:18 that in all things he should have preeminence. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm giving him preeminence in everything. Amen. And we said that preeminence means to have the first, highest, chief, and the best place in a position of ascendancy over everything else. Over everything else. Not alongside, not under, but over everything else. And we said in military terms that having preeminence, it means being able to go anywhere, do anything without opposition. It's overwhelming, unrestricted, absolute authority and power. And we were talking about that preeminence, not where we go, but where he's allowed to go. Because there's no way that we're going to walk in full victory or in freedom until we give him full freedom inside of each one of us. Amen? Because we can't say, I'm not going to listen to your word in this aspect of it. I'm going to agree with you, Lord, on my freedom and on my salvation and on my eternity. I got my get out of hell free card. His name is Jesus. Now I'm going to live my life to the fullest. Bless everything I do. And then leave other areas in our lives that are closed off to him. I've asked God, and thank God for unanswered prayer. Amen. You ever pray for things and you realize just how silly and infantile your prayers were? Whew, I'm so grateful for unanswered prayer. My children would have been in trouble. My marriage would have been in trouble. My finances would have been in trouble. Everything would have been in trouble if God answered everything that I prayed for. I'd have just been in trouble. But thank God for his preeminence in our lives. And we have to give him unfettered access. And again, I want to ask you, because this past week, you can look at your life and see where you held or asked him to stop or held the Lord at bay and say, Lord, we've done pretty good, but now it's my time. Thanks, Lord. Okay, but now I got it from here. Because this is what I want to do, what I enjoy, and what I think will fulfill me. I want you to know there's nothing out there that will fulfill you other than Jesus Christ. Nothing. Zero, zip, zilch. But if we will unlock and give God that and tell him, go anywhere in my heart, anywhere in my mind, anywhere in my soul, my will. Well, okay, the will also. That's the place he wants to go the most, isn't it? Not my will, but thine be done. And so what it comes down to is we're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to allow him in and give him preeminence so that no matter what's been in there, he can deal with? And then whatever his word says, that trumps how you feel. It trumps what I think. It trumps what I've done. It trumps what others have said. It trumps my failures. It trumps my guilt. It trumps my shame. It trumps everything else in my life. Whatever his word says. Because there's nobody on this planet that can be held high. My wife is not higher than what the word of God says and the calling of God on my life. Amen. We walk together in unity. But she does not come first. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing else. Because I walk close with him, she gets the overflow of what God is doing. Because she walks close with him, I get the overflow of what God is doing in her. Amen? How's the overflow in your marriage? It always gets quiet. It's more of an undertow. It's sucking me out to the ocean, brother. I can't even hang on. Help! Help! Somebody throw me a lifeline. Send 10 people in to save me. It's not supposed to be an undertow. It's supposed to be an overflow. And this is what God wants to do. You see, when we get right with him, then it overflows into those that are around us. Worship is an overflow of what all these worshipers are doing during the week. How they're stepping away from the thing. They're giving him unfettered access into their lives. I'm not putting those things before my eyes. I'm not allowing them into my ears. I'm not going the way of the world. I'm not getting caught up in the foolishness. I'm separating myself for the purpose of glorifying the King of Kings. Amen? But this is for each and every one of our lives. And so I just wanted to reiterate that, because if we're going to give him access, and we're going to have to give his word access. And I think that's where the biggest issue is. We say we want to give God access into our lives because we know that he's, God is love. Amen? He's amazing, and he is a lover of each and every one of us. There is no one that he doesn't have love for. He's created them because for love, for the purpose of expressing him on this earth and his love. But so many times we allow him and we say, yes, we want the salvation, but when his word comes and starts to challenge what I think, then we stop giving the word full access into our lives. And if you turn over to John chapter 4 and verse 15 to 17, I just want to read those and then we're going to pray. So first we're giving him preeminence in everything. And then in 1 John 4, 15 to 17, it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the wild Wednesdays that you've allowed us to walk through. I thank you for the miracles that you've done in our lives already by dragging us out of darkness and translating us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. I thank you, Lord, for transforming the way that we think by the reading of your word and renewing us day by day. I thank you for the time in worship today. Lord, that time in worship where it was a place of rest, it was a place of perfect peace. It was a place where we could tell you how wonderful you are. And words fail us always. Because no matter how wonderful the word Almighty is, it's just not enough to describe you. And Father, today, I pray that your word would overwhelm us. Your word would deliver. Your word would transform. I pray that your word would be what we stand upon, and the word would be the only gauge that we use to walk out our lives. That everything that we are, everything that we do, is submitted to your word and through your word, so that you would get the glory that's due your name. Thank you, Father, for loving us the way that you have. You have been so good to us, oh God. You have overwhelmed us. Father, we sit here today as those who have had the provision of the Lord just out of control in our lives. Your provision has been extraordinary, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, after being in Guatemala, it doesn't really matter what you have here. His provision is extraordinary for you. Because when you go in their houses that are about 8 pieces of tin, 4 for the walls and 2 for the roof. And then, like we said, 1 room for the living room, dining room, kitchen, and then 1 small place with a mat for a bedroom. And that's life, their whole lives. They know nothing different. And then yet here in America, we have, you know, it's no matter what we have, there's never enough. And when the word of God doesn't conquer us, then we don't stop striving for more. Instead of striving to give more, we strive a lot of times to get more because we're not satisfied with all that God has given us. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Amen? And I believe that what he wants us to do is to enjoy his provision, but to stop chasing after nothingness. All the temporary things that vanish before our eyes. And to be able to enjoy what he has given, take care of what he has given, there's no doubt. Take care of everything that he has given because it's his and we need to use it wisely. but then to figure out a way how we can give more, how we can live in such a way that our lives are simple. They're simple, so our time isn't squandered trying to maintain all that we try to possess. And it's just something that God's been speaking to me ever since we went down. And I mean, it's not like the first time that I was down there, but it was a realigning of things. And that's why it's so imperative to get out of the country, to be reminded of how silly some of our quests can be. Our quests can be things that are simple distractions. And I believe that I've been distracted at times, many times in my life. And I just don't want to be distracted. That was number like, I think that was the 16th time I've been to Guatemala. But each time, God does something different in my heart. And I know every team is different that we've had that has gone down there. And everyone that comes back shares something different that God does, because everybody's in a different place. Amen? And I just want to encourage you, whatever God is speaking to you, make sure that you're looking at what you have and you are just honored, blessed, and prepared not to be consumed with an American way of thinking, but to be consumed with a kingdom way of thinking. Because everything that we have is for the use in the kingdom. Amen? So in 1 John 4, 15 to 17, you know, it's probably that verse where it says, whoever confesses Jesus Christ as Son, verse 16, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. This is probably the hardest sentence to get people to truly believe. To know it is one thing. They've read about it because we know the word says that God is love, right? So we know it, but then to get to get people to believe that God loves them as much as everybody else on the planet is a very difficult thing to do. Because most of the time, everybody looks at what they haven't done and they judge themselves by themselves among themselves. And the Bible says that's foolish. Because we're supposed to look back at the Word of God and build our lives on the Word of God. And he said, we have come to know. Have you come to know and have believed the love which God has for you individually? For you individually, have you come to know that? So you no longer look at what any other gift is being manifested in the house of God. You don't care, but you rejoice. You don't judge it and you don't get jealous of it. You don't whine about where you're at, but you know that your gift is powerful, that your calling is powerful. Everyone in here has been called by God. Amen? The Bible says, but few choose. Few choose to walk out their calling or putting that first and foremost in their lives. It's really that simple. Why? And again, it's because we're not sure if God loves me that much that he'll take care of me. I remember that thought. And I remember the thought when I came over and was doing plumbing 6 days a week, and then I'd be here. I mean, I was here every evening, but during the daytime. And then each year, whatever, it started backing off another day until it was full-time here. But I remember when I started doing this full-time and I wasn't doing the plumbing, I was like, but I better keep my fingers in that, because if this doesn't work, I have something to fall back on. I don't know what your thoughts are, but they were mine. I remember that thought that I can't. Lord, I don't know, because I don't know if this is going to work, because I didn't understand his love for me. Pastor Bob has planted 5 different churches. God always supplied his needs. Did you do it all right, Pastor Bob? You did it all right? The Lord did. The Lord did it all right through a vessel. And guess what? Every one of us are a vessel. Amen? And when we come to know and then start to believe God's love for us, everything starts to change. Everything starts, because now the impossible becomes possible. Well, wait a minute. If you did it for those guys, and I know their flaws, you've seen them. I've been standing up here for years. You know the flaws, right? You've seen them. They've been on public display. Some I have shared from my own mouth, the failures that I've walked through and the things that we have done. Some others have shared with you. Some still continue to share them with you. But the one thing that I came to believe and to know is that God loved me. That was a hard one because I wasn't sure, because me and my dad didn't have a good relationship. So it was a little bit more difficult to believe that God was that good that it would be a success rather than a failure. That I would accomplish what God called me to do and not be, well, you can't do anything right. Because those, you have them competing thoughts. I don't know about you, but that's what I had. I had competing thoughts on who would rule and reign in my life. Would I come to know, as it says in verse 16, come to know and believe the love which God has for me? I came to know and understand the love my father had, or the limited love that he had, or understanding when we were younger, and I didn't want to do that again, so I had to come to know and start to believe the love that God had for me, because I didn't want to live out that same life. And I knew that if I didn't understand the love of God, then I'm going to struggle my whole walk and I'm going to bail. Because the reason that I'm still here is because I know that he loves me. I know that he loves me, and I know that he called me, but I know that he loves me. And therefore, no matter what happens, we don't bail, we don't run, we don't cut and run because something goes awry. Pastor Bob did a men's breakfast yesterday, and he said, you know, in this season in America and around the world, men are cutting and running when it comes to marriage. And he said, don't cut and run. He said, don't do that. Stand, walk it out. God is able. And you know, in a season that America is in, and look at, there's no condemnation. There's none. We're speaking to the next generation. Because I want to make sure the next generation understands there is, when you make a covenant with the Lord, there is no changing that. And I want them to have to dig down deep and say, wait a minute, even though it's not going right, even though for some reason she doesn't understand me. And every husband said, amen. And for every wife that says, man, he's thick. He just doesn't get it. And every woman said, amen. Right. All right. But I know my wife loves me.
Amen.
Yes. I got that answer right. I know. Why? Because I know that she loves God. And therefore, she has to love me. We're going to walk together all the way through to the end.
Yes, we are.
And we're going to hold hands on into eternity because we're both going to go together. That's what we decided. Yep. Jesus coming back and we're just going to walk with him hand in hand and we're going together. Because she said she doesn't want to be here without me. And I don't want to be here without her either, all right? But I had to come to a place where we both started to, I believed. She did tell me one time too. She said, I never doubted that you loved me. She did doubt that I had any sense whatsoever on how to lead, all right? But she never doubted that I loved her. Listen, for that person sitting next to you, whoever it is, your children, friends, whatever it is, we need to get to a place as a church that we believe that the person next to me loves me. Why? Because that's the love of God that overflows through us, right? You don't punch my son-in-law. That's not love. I know that's Mississippi love. That's better, all right? But we've got to come. It's one of the things that changed my life in Biloxi, Mississippi, is just that thought process. I walked in and I said, man, they love one another. Because these guys all hugging each other? Yeah, stay away from me, boys. We ain't doing that stuff, I'll tell you that right now. I ain't like you guys down here in the South. Handshake is good. And then I know when I got a little bit more bold, then we had a handshake and had the forearm to the chest, right? Because that protects you and keeps them at a certain distance away from you. And then when that first man came up and he smacked my hand out of the way and he gave me a hug and he kissed me on the cheek, phew. Let me tell you something. I struggled. And I was like, that's the weirdest thing that ever happened to me in church, and it better never happen again. And that guy, I avoided that guy. He would come, hey, brother, hey, I'll be right there. I got to use the restroom. I didn't. I lied. But I just didn't want him coming near me because that was not what I experienced growing up, and that was just over the top. It was over the top. But I want you to know, the more that I understood, I knew God loved me according to his word, but then I started to believe it. And I'll tell you what, once you start to believe it, oh, it gets easy. See, because when I know that God loves me, then it gets even easier for me to love my wife, right? Because I didn't understand it in the beginning. In the beginning, I loved her as long as she did what I told her, I asked her to do. On display. I know none of you did that. But that was my thinking. So everything was based on performance, right? And then when the failures come or things didn't go right, then all of a sudden it was like, ah! And now we got to work through this. But then as I started to understand, know, and believe that I was loved, that even when things went awry, there was no doubt in my mind that she loved me. And therefore, I wanted to make sure that I didn't say anything that caused any pain. Because I'd already done that. But I didn't want to do that anymore. But it didn't come until I started to understand that I was loved by God. See, because once I know that I'm loved by God, then I don't have some great expectation that anybody can't fulfill. Isn't that where the trouble comes? I have an expectation on you how you should treat me. And until you do, you don't get everything I got. You'll get a kind word once every 3 days, baby, or whatever it is. The boss, he ain't gonna get all I got. I'll give him a decent day's work, but I ain't getting a good day's work. We have all of these things that go on inside of our brain because of rejection, because we don't understand that we're loved by God. And therefore, we take it out on humans. We take out our misunderstanding of the love of God on other people. And you know, it's probably the hardest thought to get people to accept and believe. And there's two thoughts in this passage in verse 17. It says, by this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And you know, number one is that we are partakers of divine adoption. You've got to get that. It's already done. The papers are sealed. It can never be unsealed, right? We discussed it before that in the Jewish tradition, if they adopt a child in as a Jewish person, they cannot disown them. They can disown their own biological, but they can't disown one that they adopt in. God can't disown you. This confidence is invaluable, and that's the key. Your confidence gets stronger the more that you understand that you're loved by God. You know it, but when you start to believe it, confidence starts to grow. It's easy to see those who aren't sure if they're loved by God because their confidence doesn't grow. Where do we hear it? We see it when people worship. We see, because let me tell you something, when I worship, I worship because I understand God's love for me. I know what I was doing when he found me. I know everything I was doing. It wasn't right. It was wrong for the most part. We worked hard and we played hard, but we weren't playing nice things. So I know what he took me out of and how he changed me in a moment. And therefore, now I've come to know and believe that his love for me is incredible. And now I want to act that out, or I want to give him what he deserves, which is worship with my whole heart. I've seen some of you guys at weddings. I've seen you dance at weddings. Seen, you ever see a bride and a groom when they first got married? I've seen a lot of them. They don't care about anything. They're out there spinning around. Their dresses get huge. They don't care who's looking. Everything is about them that day. Do you remember doing that? Some of people are like, I ain't saying nothing because I know where he's going with this. And then we get out there on the line dance. I don't know how that goes, but I watched. People are all out there, and then we come to church. I love you, Lord. and I barely lift my voice. See, but when we start to believe that he loves you and he's designed you to be a worshiper, everything starts to change. Everything starts to change. When we pray, some people say, well, I can't pray out loud. But it speaks of knowing and then believing you're loved. Because when you believe that you're loved, you're not worried about what other people are thinking about your prayers. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not worried about your opinion on my prayer. I want to encourage you. We're meeting in there at 9 o'clock from 9 to 10, and it's growing. No church has ever grown unless the prayer group grows. I pray that there's more people in prayer than there are people sitting out here. That's my desire, that we're all over there in prayer, and then it just spills over, and the whole house is in prayer from 9 to 10 every Sunday morning. Why? Because we're just meeting with the Father. Why? Because I know, and now I believe that I'm loved. And why do I want to spend time with you if I can spend time with the King? Why do I want to talk to you when I can talk to the one who controls eternity? The one who has washed me and cleansed me and made me whole. So again, that confidence starts to come when we understand that love. And some people are not sure. We have come to know and believe that we're loved. And I know all of you know Psalm 136, but we're going to read it together this morning because I want to make sure that you understand his love. We're going to read the whole thing. Verse 1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For what? His loving kindness is everlasting. Okay, you got to read this version up on here, okay? I know some of you is memorized in the King James, you spiritual people. Right? And you can't grasp these other versions, but we're going to read what's on the board, all right? Because we're going to remind you of who you are and how much he loves you. Verse 2, it says, give thanks to the God of gods for his... give thanks to the Lord of lords for his... to him who alone does great wonders for his... to him who made the heavens with skill for his, to him who spread out the earth above the waters for his, to him who made the great lights for his, the sun to rule by day for his, the moon and stars to rule by night for his, to him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn for his, and he brought Israel out of their midst for his, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm for his, to him who divided the Red Sea asunder for his. Are you getting the message here? There's something he wants us to get as the body of Christ. There's something that he doesn't want it misunderstood. He doesn't want us to forget. Heaven forbid we get into works. We try to earn it. Jesus said, I've done it all. It is finished. And it's not by works that anybody can boast. How much boasting goes on in the kingdom of God? How much boasting happens? Hey, look what I got. Look what I did. Look what I bought. Look where I've been. Look who I am. Look at my job. Look at, and we don't even realize how much we talk about, look what I have done, rather than he who is from everlasting to everlasting. Verse 15, but he who overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea for his, right? To him who led his people through the wilderness for his. Look at that. He led you through the wilderness you were in. And he brought you into his kingdom, into his marvelous light. Amen? You know, there's only one reason why he did that. Because his. And that's why he did it. You realize that. He didn't do it just because you're so good looking. He didn't do it because you're so smart or I'm so smart. He didn't do it because of your gift that he deposited in you. He did it because his loving kindness is everlasting. That's why he did it. That's why you're sitting next to the person That's, or you're sitting to the, yeah, you're sitting by the person next to you. There we go. You know why you're sitting next to that person? Because his loving kindness is everlasting. You need that person next to you. Tell your neighbor, say, you're darn right you do. Yeah, that's the truth. Tell the person on the other side, you need me too. Come on. You see, because as the body, we can accomplish what God's called us to do. But only when we get to know and start to believe that we're loved. Because then I can champion the gift inside of you. That's what we want to do. Champion the gift inside of everyone here. Champion the calling on your life. Whatever that calling is. And all we want to do is help you to step out in faith to accomplish that task that came down from eternity. Because the task that God called you to didn't come from Rock Solid Church. This is just where we meet and we train and equip. That's it. The calling came from eternity, from the King of Glory. Right? And then that calling, each one of us will give an account for, won't we? Yes. Try, when we stand before the Lord, he's going to say, okay, I loved you with what? An everlasting love. Come on, we just did this. Because his loving kindness is everlasting, right? He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've called you according to my purpose. Right? I've deposited my spirit on the inside of you. I've given you gifts in order to express on the earth. I've done it all. What did I receive from you with all that I have done? And what happens is there's going to be no reward if we don't understand that we're loved. There's going to be none because we'll draw back and we'll look at how everybody else looks at us. How many times has somebody just changed their facial expression and you were like, ooh. Somebody was looking, hey, what? Is there something on my nose? Did I say something? Did I do something? What's the matter with you? What do you mean, what's the matter with me? Nothing. What's the matter with you? There's nothing the matter. I just was looking. And then something flew in my eye. Oh, I thought you had an attitude. What? I didn't have an attitude. Stinking bug flew in my eye. And I was like, But that's all it takes is changing of the facial expressions. And sometimes people don't know if you love them anymore. My mom used to play a game like that when I was a baby. She told me, I'm not telling tales out of school. She said she did it. Her girlfriends would be over. They'd be sitting at the dining room table. And I was 2, 3. And she would say, Jerome. And then she'd say, Jerome! 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 And the tone would determine what I felt or what I thought. Isn't that true with you? All somebody does is say something in a different tone. And all of a sudden, you got an attitude. Happens that quick. No, you can't go to your friend's house. Kidding me. It's over. Oh, yeah? I'm getting my stick. I'm tying my little red handkerchief on it, and I'm out. It's all it takes. One word. And the thoughts start to consume our minds in the wrong direction. God doesn't want our minds changed. He wants them in the same direction for each and every one of us. Amen? He wants you to know that his love for you is from when? Everlasting till when? Everlasting. That's right. Don't doubt his love for you. Know it. Now start to believe it. Someone said, you're a failure. Yeah, but my God loves me. You know what he can do with failure? He can make victorious out of failure. He can. We all know Gideon's story. I'm the least. He said, no, you're a man of valor. I want you to know, every man in here, you're men of valor. Every lady in here, you girls are women of valor. You are, according to his word. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't have everything that I want, and God didn't do what I told him to do in my life. Well, you're not sure how loved you are, but you are a person of valor. And you believe that you know better than God, but you're still a person of valor. Sometimes we don't say these things, but it's the way that we act. How many times have you pouted because God didn't do what you told him to do? How many times did you step away from church? Thank God, not today, but maybe some of you watching. Maybe you stayed home today because God didn't do what you told him to do. You can come back. These people are nice. They're very nice here. All right, there's a couple in over there that need a little work, but for the most part, they're nice. We've got to get to a place where you believe that you're loved from everlasting to everlasting. 2 Corinthians 1, 21, 22, it says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ, number one, he establishes you in Christ and anointed us, your anointed is God. Number one, he establishes you. Number two, he anointed you. God did them both. It goes on in verse 22, and also sealed us. And gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. As a pledge for your future. Jesus said, it's expedient that I must go that the Comforter would come. Amen? Right. The Comforter had to come. Or the one that's going to lead you and guide you. The one that's going to remind you, you're loved. You're loved. You're loved. You're loved. You're loved. Yeah, but they don't like me. God does. Yeah, but my mom wasn't good. My dad wasn't good. My grandfather was abusive. My grandmother was abusive. My aunt, my uncle, whoever it was. Yeah, but God loves you. And you're going to have to forgive them. I can't forgive them. You don't know what they've done. I know what I've forgiven you, God says, through the Holy Ghost. See, because when we start to believe that we're loved, then it's easy to forgive those. Because other people are going to have to forgive us. How many people need to forgive you? Mom, I forgive you for treating me like that as a 2-year-old. I just want you to know. And then in Colossians 3, 12, it says, so as those who have been chosen, the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Beloved, put on. Heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Put it on. It's going to take work. It's going to take work because your natural man doesn't want to put it on. Your natural man doesn't want to put on compassion sometimes. Sometimes you want to tell him you deserve what you got. Thank God we didn't get what we deserved. You want to find out what compassion looks like? Come on down, let's feed the poor. There's compassion going on there. What do we get from them? Nothing, but we're doing what God's called us to do. Amen? Kindness, put it on. Tell your neighbor, say, that's for you. Humility, put it on. Gentleness and patience, put it on. It means you're going to have to work at it. To put it on, it's going to take some effort on our part. But it's only going to come when we know that we're loved. So if you believe you're loved this morning, stand up. Oh, sorry. Went a little long. No, I'm not sorry. That would be a lie. And I do not lie. To know and to believe you are loved. Okay, we read it in the scriptures, and it's from everlasting till when?
Everlasting.
Okay. Will God ever stop loving you? Not a chance. He said if you make your bed in the heavens, he'll love you. If you make your bed in Hades, he'll still love you. Amen?
Amen?
But you're going to make a choice that you don't want to spend eternity with him. That's not him. His love is still the same for each and every one. It's all through eternity. His love never changes for every single one of us that he's created in his own image. The question is, do you believe that? Because if we believe it, everything starts to change. And the world needs to see it, the body of Christ that loves God and loves one another and cheers each other on. Make sure you cheer Mike on because he gets to live another day. He made it to the hospital. He got a stent put in and he gets to live another day and preach the gospel. Cheer him on when you see him. He gets a life. Talk about God loving you so much. I mean, my goodness. He had my number on speed dial. Yeah. Why? Because I love Mike. It's about loving one another. Whatever you're walking through, find somebody else that's gotten victory in it. Ask some questions. Stop wallowing around in the mud. Stop messing around with the lies of the enemy. Let's know and believe that God loves you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. Lord, I thank you. When your love fills a room, God, we come alive. We feel almost light as a feather. All the weights, the yokes, everything falls off when your presence comes in. Lord, when we understand, because your loving kindness is for all of eternity. Lord, let us not just walk through and say, yeah, I know God is love. But let it be that we walk through and start to believe that we're loved. And that every good and perfect gift has been given to the body of Christ. And everything that we put our hands to is going to prosper. No matter where I walk in righteousness. The greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. The love that has transformed and washed away every guilty stain. When I stand before you, Father, and when your word says to come boldly before the throne room of God, Lord, let there be no hesitation for everyone here in the church and everyone watching online. Let there be no hesitation. That hesitation is because they don't believe that they're loved. But Father, today we agree that those that have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those that have acknowledged him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and agree that only through the shedding of blood is there forgiveness of sins, that we can now, because of the work of Christ on the cross, we can now come boldly before the throne room of God. We can look up, we can speak to you as one speaks to a friend. Every issue of our heart, we could pour out before you. And Father, I pray that we would have the courage to receive and accept your answer that you give when we cry out, and then walk it out with great faith. Father, let faith arise in every heart, that no matter what word is said to anyone here all week, will respond with, I know and believe that I am loved. Therefore, my response will be made with humility, with kindness, with patience, with endurance. No longer will I respond out of pain, because that love has swallowed up all of my pain and I've been released from rejection. It no longer has dominion over me. I've been released from fear in the name of Jesus, because that perfect love casts out all fear. Lord, let it be that your sons and your daughters respond in faith with words of love, so that many more will say, I want the freedom that you're walking in. Father, today we honor you. We submit to you. We submit to the authority of your word. We surrender everything about us. And now we're going to work all week at putting on. We're just going to put it on this week. No different than if it's going to rain, we're going to put on a hat. Daddy, we know that there's going to be opportunities, and therefore we're going to put on kindness and humility, compassion. Before we even need it. First thing in the morning, we're going to put it on and say, as for me and my house, we're going to walk in kindness. As for me and my house, we're going to walk with compassion for those that are in need. As for my house, me and my house, we're going to walk humbly before our God, not mentioning what we've done, but what he has done. Father, today, be glorified through your sons and daughters. For we believe that we are loved this morning by the King of Glory and one another. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Now listen, you have to love one another before you leave, all right? And if you're new here and a guy gives you a hug, it's not weird, all right?